Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers. Lose the wizard hat. And ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of It's Only Slightly Bent, Geek Cave Podcast Comics. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
Comics on the Geek Cave Podcast, comics on the Geek Cave Podcast, comics on the Geek Cave Podcast. I was super lazy. Turtle power. Welcome to comics.
Even the lazy intros are good ones.
New year, that means new sponsor copy from our friends at Shirtosaurus. Digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today with great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of old school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or you're just weird, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. And also our friends at Gamefly. With membership options for every budget, plus gifts for gamers of all ages, Gamefly has thousands of titles that you can keep as long as you want. And when you're done, just send it back in the postage paid envelope for a new one, or keep it forever and pay a lot less than in-store prices. Sign up for your free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com. Boys, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Woo!
What we got going on? Regale me.
Well, you know, Chad and I kicked off New Year's Eve by, you know, just kind of hanging out, and I made brownies.
Brownies.
Nice.
And he tells me that they actually use chocolate.
Yeah, this time.
Ooh. Yeah.
But otherwise, you know, just kind of catching up with, I got a lot of stuff for Christmas. If you were on the Discord, you saw the haul. And so I'm trying to catch, I got the complete Nightfall, Night Quest saga.
Yes.
Which Jesus. Is like, each book is maybe like 4 inches thick, and there's three of them. And for comics, that's El Thicko. And I also got Doomsday Clock, which I've already read through Hoopla, but I was happy to get. And yeah, I've been up to my eyeballs in comics, both good and bad, as you'll find out in a moment.
See, that's why I just read the novelization of the Nightfall stuff. It's like 400 pages. That's
there you
it.
Go.
Whole thing. Even includes the Azrael stuff.
Oh, the Azrael stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What about you?
I spent New Year's Eve watching some Godzilla movies and watching my son play Sonic Generations.
Oh, nice. Oh, you know what else? Go ahead.
While my spouse plays Breath of the Wild for the third time.
It's a good game. You know what else? You know what else I did for New Year's Eve? I was enamored with the fact that we made it to the front page of Amazon Music's podcast section.
Isn't that just weird?
How crazy is that? So I'm not sure how that happened, because we're not paying to promote the podcast at all. In fact, if
and
we paid to promote it,
we're not going to look a gift horse in the mouth either, are we, Darren?
No. If we paid to promote it, heck, we might actually be big. But in the meantime, you know, thank you to everyone who happened to find us on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts. But I digress. We can talk more about that later. And look, we're still the featured podcast. Chad just looked it up.
Nice.
So as of this taping, we're still go to Amazon Music and rate us on there. That would be very helpful. But I can get all that plugging going later. Justin, yes. It's your segment.
Well, I mean, what traditionally comes next is Darren. Have you been doing anything?
Have you come next?
Yes, Darren. You come next. So what you got?
Man, I hope this stain comes out.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Darren's First Time.
Motherfucker, I told you be gentle.
Welcome to Darren's First Time, where I pick up a comic I've never read before and I ask myself, is this something I'm going to really like? Or is this like those small boxes of detergent you get at the laundromat? In other words, single use only. Speaking of laundromats, it's not very often that a comic I try out hooks my curiosity with the first couple of sentences, but this month's book, Sheets, S-H-E-E-T-S, did so as follows. Quote, "It's difficult to list in the order the things I hate, but I can say with no uncertainty that laundry and ghosts are tied for first. Laundry, because it's much too real, and ghosts, because they're not."
Okay.
So that caught my interest, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's unfortunate for the rest of the book. But let's go in. Sheets is about two characters. One is a middle school girl named Marjorie. She runs her family's laundromat. And the other is an 11-year-old boy named Wendell. He's dead, by the way.
Oh, well.
In this universe, ghosts look just like the classic Halloween costume, where you put a white sheet over your body and cut out a couple of eye holes.
Okay.
So, Marjorie...
You know which one Charlie Brown will be, then.
Yeah. Marjorie has your typical coming-of-age troubles with bullies, schoolwork, but it's made so much worse by the fact that, as I said earlier, she's running the family laundromat. She's in the eighth grade. She's running the laundromat because her mother died in a swimming accident, and since then her father has been so depressed he barely comes out of his room, so she also has to help raise her little brother. You know, a real feel-good book.
Hmm. Yeah.
I haven't felt this good since I watched Grave of the Fireflies. What about Wendell? Wendell's got to be good, right? His design is simplistic and charming. Surely that'll warrant a few smiles. Well, nobody in the ghost community likes Wendell. He has a penchant for exaggeration. They have this little support group talking about how they all died, and Wendell keeps making up outrageous stories as to how he actually managed to die, saying that he was working for the president of Earth, another time saying he was a prince of a magical kingdom that was once taken captive by a crew of mutant pirates, so on and so forth. Neither of those, by the way, are remotely true, just in case you were wondering. In real life, Wendell died just like Marjorie's mom, by drowning. Now he has a fear of water, so his sheet, which is what every soul is given once they reach the afterlife so they can actually see each other, because otherwise they're just invisible, his sheet is filthy. And eventually he decides to run away from the land of ghosts and come to the land of humans, and he ends up haunting Marjorie's laundromat, and some really depressing hijinks ensue. Such as, remember, this is an 11-year-old kid. So, one time, he makes a giant blanket for it out of all the clothing that Marjorie has already cleaned. And, of course, that comes crashing down right when she comes back downstairs, right before she opens the door for customers, and they see all their laundry on the floor, they blame her, etc., etc. You know the tropes that this is going to hit. But that brings me to Mr. Sabretuck, the main antagonist of our story, and if a leech had a human body.
Okay.
You see, he's been pressuring Marjorie, again, an eighth grade student. I feel like I should keep stressing this because this book is way too mean to this 12/13-year-old girl. But he's been pressuring her to give him, not sell, give him the laundromat so he can open a yoga spa there. And he promises that she and her dad can work for him if she accepts.
Uh-huh.
No further compensation, mind you. No pay, no financial obligations for the building. No, you can work for me. She keeps resisting, so he starts doing things to sabotage the business, including, but not limited to, literally breaking and entering, filling the laundry detergent bottles with red dye, putting pamphlets for his currently non-existent spa everywhere in the lobby, spreading rumors that the laundromat is infested with roaches and the Black Plague. That's a good one. And looming near and behind her everywhere she goes, which should have gotten him, if not thrown in prison, at least put on a list.
Yeah.
I know he's supposed to be the person the audience hates, so mission freaking accomplished, I guess. Every time this guy is on the page, I wanted to put the book down. And he's in a lot of the book. I uttered that noise of disgust you make when you open the trash can to like put something in and you smell that gross smell. And you're like, oh, that was the sound I made every time I saw his face.
Whew.
You know, his design matches the grotesqueness of his actions. So again, kudos. Good job making someone so repugnant they could only be a cartoon character. Now, eventually, Marjorie catches Wendell making messes in the laundromat. And Marjorie has, at this point, lost customers and has given Sabretuck more ammo for his smear campaign. So it doesn't go well when she finally meets the ghost. And just when she's about to get answers from him, he goes insubstantial. Well, that's because when the sun comes up, ghosts just go to sleep. And when they go to sleep, they just disappear. So his sheet just falls to the ground, and she just chucks it in the washing machine, whatever, goes about her day. But also, fun fact, ghosts don't exist until 7 p.m. Huh. Now, things, the book at this point, I'm like, I was three quarters of the way through of the book, and all I felt every time I read this was depressed, because I felt so bad for this kid, in that everyone in town seems to hate her. Her dad doesn't, you know, her dad is extremely depressed, so he's not present. This ghost is fucking up her life, you know. There's my one. It's just terrible for her. You want to know what happens in the remaining 25 pages?
Please tell.
Everything gets better. Yeah.
Okay.
Things wrap up a bit too quickly. Wendell is eventually caught by his fellow ghosts and put on trial for violating ghost law by visiting the human world.
Okay.
But he really quickly convinces the ghosts not only to not penalize him, but also to break their own laws by coming to the human world and haunting the ever-loving shit out of Sabretuck until he leaves town. Kind of neat. It just kind of happens. That didn't require any real convincing.
I like how laws can be malleable like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Laws are made to be broken.
They also decide to, instead of living in the ghost world, live in the laundromat from now on. They just show up after the laundromat closes because the laundromat is like a carnival for ghosts. You know, they got the spin cycle. That's like, you know. Yeah, I know.
Do they spend ghost money that becomes real money once 7 a.m. hits?
No, dude, I'm getting to it. She lets them because they also give her, and you're going to have to stay with me on this. They give her a special thing they use to clean their sheets in the ghost world called Ghosturizer. Nope. Stay.
I'm listening.
Okay.
Ghosturizer removes any stain, no matter how bad or sinful. And the laundromat is saved because word gets out that this kid can get anything clean. So she's got people coming from multiple states to a laundromat because of the Ghosturizer. And a guy that is apparently one of the popular kids, but has had extremely minimal contact with Marjorie, is now her boyfriend. Why? Because she's successful now. So it's okay now. Oh, and her dad's suddenly all better from his crippling depression. Why? Because the book has to end.
Huh.
I wanted to like Sheets. I wanted to. The character designs, except for Sabretuck, were good and charming. And there were parts that I did like, but overall, it's just a lot of awkward fooling around up front, only for the climax to be sudden, a little sad, and ultimately disappointing. This is a borrow-it-from-the-library-first kind of comic, or in terms more appropriate for this segment, one of those seems cute, but does she have a sister?
Rather than end on such a sad and downtrodden note, I'm just going to say the words one more time. Ghosturizer.
Ghost. Yeah? It's probably the best creation from this whole book.
Oh.
It's clever. Just a bit too sad for me.
Yeah, no, I get it. I'm just picturing these sheets with eye holes cut out of them in the dryer. Whee!
Yeah, that happened.
Whee! or boo.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, thank you, Darren.
You're welcome.
Oh, Chad, you got anything?
Well, I was doing some reading over the holidays and had a thought, a question. It might be kind of stupid.
Oh, how many times do I have to tell you there are no stupid questions?
And now it's time for Chad Savage's stupid question.
How does a bastard, orphan, son of a Wayne, and an American dropped in the middle of a forgotten spot in Gotham City by Providence, impoverished and squalor, grow up to be a hero and a scholar?
He's got lots of dollars. Anthony Wayne, the founding father. Batty man.
Just it, insert some other Hamilton reference here while I ponder that.
Oh, that was good.
In response to your question, to paraphrase King George, I'll be back.
Okay.
That
was good.
Oh. Whew. Well, has anybody read anything uplifting or good lately?
I've read something else.
That's not what I asked, but okay.
No, this is the month that Darren doesn't like things.
Oh, okay, Chad, I should have waited to have you go later.
Sorry.
So, Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths is finally done.
Yeah, okay.
The sun has risen on the crisis.
So, I got a lot of thoughts about this crossover, and I've only got a few minutes to share them, so I'm just going to start with the obvious. What the fuck? This book...
Did Flash go back in time again?
No, but maybe he should have, because this book... took forever to finish publishing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they kept delaying it and kept releasing one-shots to keep the story going. And it's good that they released those one-shots, because if you only read the 7 issues of Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths, by the end of the story, you still have no idea what happened.
Oh, well.
Really?
Because...
Do you have those 7 issues?
I've got all of them on my tablet.
Oh, okay.
But here's my best approximation of it. Pariah... from the first Crisis on Infinite Earths back in the 80s before we overused the word crisis.
Yes.
Pariah is told by the darkness that he can get his world back and the rest of the infinite multiverse if he only uses the darkness to basically take over everything and kill everyone / put them into their own little fantasy world as part of the multiverse. Following me so far?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So that leads to the apparent deaths of the Justice League at Pariah's hands. He's just putting them on a shelf for safekeeping, more or less, in their own little fantasy worlds. And Dick Grayson, Nightwing, age 31, has to then, you know, rally the troops of what's left, the so-called legacy heroes. And herein lies subplot 1. Because the darkness has also managed to... Yeah, that's going to keep happening.
The darkness.
Yeah.
Say the darkness one more time. I dare you.
The rest of the world's supervillains succumb to the darkness.
Ooh, ram it!
And... with that, they all get this weird kind of gimp outfit where they've got these chains all over them. And that leads to them just mounting an assault on the rest of the heroes on Earth. Because Deathstroke has it in his mind that I just need to kill the Justice League's legacy. Just need to wipe it out. Why? I don't have a reason. I'm just going to do it because the darkness tells me to. Okay. So that's the story after 2 issues. What happens between issue 2 and issue 7? Whole lot of nothing. There's fight scenes. There's Robin. Damian Wayne goes on a trip with Red Canary, who's a thing now, and a few other C-listers to find Pariah's world separation machine to kind of undo the crisis. Okay. While Dick and the rest of the Titans / Justice League Detroit / All-Star Squadron, whatever, fight this massive assault of bad guys in front of the Hall of Justice, which takes 4 issues to get through. And then we get to issue 7. Issue 7, Justice League's back. The day is saved. Pariah has been defeated rather easily. He gets absorbed by the darkness. But Slade still has access to the darkness. And so Deathstroke, Slade, whatever you want to call him, is basically just Hulkamania on the rest of the DC heroes somehow, single-handedly. Need I remind you that Deathstroke is essentially Captain America if he were a hired assassin.
Hmm.
He doesn't have, like, Superman-level strength or anything like that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's still running wild. And it comes down to, and I wish the spoilers, by the way, spoilers for issue 7 of Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths. If you don't want to hear spoilers, jump 3 minutes ahead, or Justin, just put your fingers in your ears. Okay. The penultimate battle between Deathstroke and Nightwing, because Nightwing is the face of the book, allegedly, happens in the brain. Like, they're fighting inside Nightwing's head. Nightwing wins. Deathstroke still gonna try to kill him, but he's stopped by his own daughter, who just says, "Hey, stop it." And he does. 7 issues of fighting, and all it took was someone to be like, "Knock it off." And Deathstroke finally reveals why he's been doing this, why he wants to wipe out all legacy heroes. And the answer is, "I don't want them to suffer like I did." What the hell are you talking about? Deathstroke didn't... He didn't have a bad childhood. Deathstroke signed up for the Super Soldier program. Deathstroke seemed pretty freaking happy with the choices he made in life. And now all of a sudden, in like the last issue, they try to turn it into, oh, he's a sympathetic figure. It doesn't really work. Batman and Dick talk. Batman announces that the Justice League is disbanded. Why? Because... And Dick is going to lead the Titans, the new premier team in DC, for the next 6 months, or at least until the next Justice League movie comes out. And that's pretty much it. If you didn't read any of the tie-ins, and I only read 1 or 2 of them, you have no idea what's going on. And if you did read most of the stuff like I did, you still have no idea what's going on. Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths was extremely rushed, and it feels like whoever the writer was for the final issue typed it up on the toilet 15 minutes before he had to submit it for publishing. Nothing wrong with that if it's a good first draft, but I feel like I wasted a lot of time.
So, Chad, how you doing?
I don't know what's going on. Well, he said a lot of words, and I understood the words, you know, individually. But I don't think anyone's ever put those words together in that order before. So okay. I don't understand.
The important thing is to not succumb to the darkness.
Yes.
The darkness.
Well, Chad, hold on to that feeling, because we're just going to move right on into everybody's favorite segment. Kent?
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare yourself for Justin's long box. Yeah, baby. Extra long.
Should I preemptively take off my glasses?
I don't think it's going to be that bad this time.
Who are you long boxing?
Well, let's just get right into it then. So, like most kids in the 80s, superheroes were a big part of my childhood. Cartoons, movies, comic books, and of course, toys. and nothing sparked my imagination quite like the DC Comics Superpowers toys from Kenner.
Those were good toys.
These weren't just posable figures. They had special fighting actions. Mm-hmm. Superman could punch. Flash could run. Wonder Woman could throw up her bracers to block bullets. They were awesome. But just to make sure kids knew that these toys were of their favorite superheroes, DC released a 5-part miniseries called Superpowers. And it starred the first wave of toys in the line, and it was written and mostly drawn by Jack Kirby. So let's dive in.
All right.
We start as a mysterious figure is holding a battle royale. At the end, the 4 champions have been chosen to go to Earth and prepare for its invasion. This means distracting and or destroying their heroes. Calling themselves the Disciples of Doom, they split up to obey their master's command. The first disciple goes to Lex Luthor. Granting him special powers beyond his imagination, Luthor sets his sights on Superman. Meanwhile, Superman and Flash are getting ready to start their annual charity race for charity.
Charity race for charity.
Yes. As the race gets underway, they notice that everything around them is moving at a blur. Faster than they are. Like, they stop running and things are still moving quite fast. Cue Luthor. Moving faster than even Superman can track, he attacks. He incapacitates Flash and begins taunting Superman. But Superman is quite crafty. Using his heat vision, Supes heats up Flash's molecules so he vibrates through the street to safety. Using the subway tunnels, Flash speeds up behind Luthor and takes him out. Suddenly, Luthor disappears.
Okay.
Meanwhile, in Gotham City, the Penguin is being transported to prison via helicopter. Why? I don't know. He escapes and He escapes and is met by the second disciple, giving him the same chance as Luthor. The Penguin summons all the birds to cause chaos at the pier for Aquaman. All the birds. Green Lantern shows up to help, but the duo are outmatched by birds.
Well, there's goldfinches and orioles.
Luckily,
this Flash, guy knows what I'm talking about.
Luckily, the Flash, having defeated Luthor, shows up. Uses Green Lantern's power ring, he stops the birds and Penguin, who conveniently disappears. Yes, he just takes Hal's ring, puts it on, uses it like it's a remote control, saves the day for GL and Aquaman.
Is this secretly just a Flash book?
Also, meanwhile...
Of course.
On the other side of Gotham City, we see the Joker having a therapy session. He's actually opening up to his therapist, and he hates it. The third disciple appears, and the same routine follows. Joker creates a pocket dimension where he traps Batman, Robin, and Hawkman. As they fall endlessly into a bottomless pit, the Joker is told Superman is coming. Supes saves the day by freeing Joker's therapist, who turns him sane, thus negating his powers.
What?
Yeah. As the heroes gather themselves, the Joker disappears. Also,
meanwhile,
the fourth disciple finds Brainiac. Wash, rinse, repeat. Brainiac goes after Wonder Woman. Using a mind control ray, he brainwashes her and the Amazons to destroy the world of man. As they rage across the world, the other heroes do their best to stem the tide. As Wonder Woman takes control of a military base, she fires missiles to take out the world. Green Lantern tries to stop the missiles, but can't quite get them all.
He doesn't have his ring on.
Cue Aquaman, who summons the ancient Leviathan. Yeah, this stops the missiles and scares the Amazons back to their senses. Meanwhile, to the power of 5, as Wonder Woman tries to explain what happened, Brainiac uses another ray to turn Superman into a mindless barbarian. Attacking his friends, he nearly defeats them. Thankfully, Green Lantern, who has his ring back by now, puts him in a bubble and cuts off the ray's effects. Realizing it's Brainiac, they head off to stop him. At that moment, the Disciples of Doom have deposited the defeated villains on Brainiac's ships. The heroes arrive, and they're all sent to Apocalypse. Turns out it was Darkseid the whole time. Trapping the heroes and villains, he begins his conquest of Earth. Enter Metron. He tells the group that they must combine their efforts and mental strength to defeat Darkseid. Summoning the Whirligog, don't ask, they all climb inside and head back to Earth. This MacGuffin defeats Darkseid's army and sends him packing. But the war isn't over, it's just begun. To be continued in the imagination of every kid by simply purchasing 12 action figures and more to come in the second wave of Kenner's Superpowers toy line.
Oh, masterful execution on the plug there, Kenner.
Oh, for yeah.
Great.
I honestly think Kenner and DC picked Sal Sales Guy to go to Jack Kirby's house and go, Sal, Kirby, I got a deal for you. See these toys? Play with them. Come up with a story. It's going to be great. And he did.
Oh, my.
Either that or he gave them to a child, grandchild, whatever, and just took notes as the kid was playing and said, yeah, you know what? Good enough. I'm getting paid either way.
You know, I had the Superpowers toys, but my Flash, the leg mechanism wore out, so his legs would just kind of dangle wildly. Yeah. So in order to do the running, I would just hold him by the torso and just shake him violently.
Yeah, I had a lot of them, too. In fact, from that first run, I had most of them.
They're re-releasing those under the McFarlane Toys banner now. I've got a couple.
Not the same. They are not the same.
I know. The design is different.
The
and
design
they don't have
is
the
different.
Action.
Exactly. Then it's not a Superpowers toy. It's just a toy.
I'm still happy with mine.
I don't know. I did not have these kind of toys.
Oh, I've got the Superman one upstairs. I'll show it to you.
I'll play with it happily.
All right.
Yeah.
Be careful, though.
And they were great. Batman and Robin both had... No, Batman punched.
Robin karate chopped. Yeah.
I didn't have Green Lantern. Joker had a giant hammer that could whack people.
Green Lantern just kind of raised his fist.
Oh, he raised his fist.
Hawkman
okay.
flapped his wings. You squeeze
Who
the
did?
Legs for most... Hawkman.
Oh, I thought you said Aquaman. I'm like,
Yeah, Aquaman...
Yeah, I know. That's why I was confused. Yeah, Hawkman flapped his wings.
I don't think Aquaman did anything. He was just as useless.
Yeah. Penguin had an umbrella that could spin around and whatever. But yeah, I had a lot of them. I had the Batmobile. I had Superman's spaceship because, you know, Superman needs a spaceship.
Yeah, the supercar. That's now available at Walmart, $29.99.
Shameless plug for somebody that's not our sponsor.
Why not? Maybe we'll get them.
So there is everything you never wanted to know about the DC Kenner team up for Superpowers and its 5-part miniseries tie-in.
Oh man.
What a great way to start the year, huh?
I love those toys. So yeah, I'm on board.
So did I. I didn't care for the comic, but I love the toys.
Maybe if they make some Dark Crisis action figures, I'll feel better about it.
Probably not. Anyway, I want to thank our sponsors, Shirtosaurus and Gamefly. Be sure to check out our other shows. You Want Me to Watch What? The Week 3 Podcast, the Sporadic TLDR, and on YouTube, Geek Cave Plays and Retromantics. Did I forget anything?
I don't think so.
Good. Look us up on social media, including all your favorites, including YouTube and Discord. Links to all of them can be found at geekcavepodcast.com. And when you get there, say hi. We like that. Be sure to tell your friends about us. We're on all your favorite podcast services, including Amazon.
Hi, Amazon.
Hi, Amazon. And now here is your out-of-context comic panel. We see Batman talking to a young woman, and he says, I'm Batman. She thinks for a second and then says, does Mom know? For Kent, Darren and Chad, I'm Justin, and this has been the wonderful world of comics. And remember, everyone's a geek for something.